So remember a couple of weeks ago when I told y'all about Purpose at Steppenwolf? Yeah, that's the play everybody's been talking about, not just me. The one showcasing the drama of a fictional Black Chicago family full of esteemed civil rights leaders, pastors, and congresspeople. Yeah, now we're on the same page. Well, people have been raving about it so much that the run has been extended again through mid-May. The Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, and the Trib have all given Purpose 4 stars, with the Trib calling it the birth of a truly great new Chicago play. So, don't wait to go see it. The show must close May 12th, and tickets start at $20 at steppenwolf.org. That's steppenwolf.org. Today on CityCast Chicago, this is the last full week of January. I'm gonna be real, 2022 is off to a hell of a start. To break down this week, we got the Tribe's Tonia Hill and Matt Harvey in the building. It's Friday, January 28th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago. Tonia Hill and Matt Harvey, welcome back to CityCast Chicago.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the invite again.
Hey, thanks for having us, man.
Before we jump into the stories, this was the coldest week in Chicago of the winter thus far. Tonia, I'm going to start with you. What's that thing you like to do in the crib when you don't even want to look outside your window?
I'd say probably do some sort of binge watching or something like that, I guess. Might, you know, cuddle under a blanket, watch something. Same thing I would do any other winter day.
What you binge watching right now?
Well, actually, I guess because of FOMO, I am now watching Ghost.
On CBS?
The Power one.
Oh.
From Power. Yeah, I was really angry about how the Power series went off.
I mean, I don't know anybody who was happy how Power went off. The Ghost series, that's the Tommy series that's set in Chicago, might pull me back into the world of Power, but the Kanan show ain't did it. Young Tariq ain't did it for me yet. So maybe I'll go back to the world of Power eventually.
They low key filmed some of that right by the crib, the Tommy one. I saw him a couple times over here, literally on my block. Like they had, we couldn't park over there.
When we dipping into that -5, -7 territory, Matt, what are you doing to kind of avoid the cold?
I just kind of stay in the crib. I have a record player. I throw on some records. I cook in this thing, you know. I do a lot of cooking when it's cold, definitely, because I just don't feel like going to the store.
I feel that. You actually took my answer, too. I got a record player over Christmas, and so I done picked up, like, some Dizzy Gillespie, some Billie Holiday. I just got, like, this the Motown ones, some of them original Outkast. And so I just be sitting in front of the window with the radiator blast and just, like, listening to the records, just, like, you know, accepting the fact that I ain't gonna see outside for a little longer.
You feel me? Yeah, I throw in like, I got a few things I love. One I've been listening to recently, though, is Green Slime. Have you heard of him? He's a Chicago rapper.
Green Slime. It sounds familiar.
Monk, yeah, is his project he put out like mid last year. I had ordered a vinyl of it. Actually, the funny thing is that it finally came like around Christmas. And I saw the package had arrived downstairs. You know, I had time to stop, take the package up, so I leave out. And when I came back home that night, it was gone. So our package got stolen. And I had to hit up bro, and he actually sent me back one. He sent me back a signed copy.
Oh, I like the cover.
So shout out Green Sign for that joint.
Y'all got to show me your setups, though. I'm trying to get into record playing. My dad is into all that stuff, and he gave me this long list of things that I should have to have the quality sound. Because he was telling me I need an amplifier, I need this, I need that. I was like, Dad, like, yeah, that's a lot of money.
But nice. Tonia, we gonna all get into the record show. We already got a CityCast scooter gang going. Now we need a CityCast sort of record collective. So we building over here. We gonna jump into the stories that y'all were really following this week in the city of Chicago. Matt, I'm gonna keep it with you. What was a lead story that really grabbed your attention this week?
The story about Donda Academy was real interesting to me. Kanye West, you know, has the Donda Academy, a school that they created out there in L.A., and
a school.
Yeah, it's more of like a prep school, like for athletes. It, at least right now, it seems like it's just for athletes. But basically, they're doing an event called Donda Academy Homecoming. It's going to be like February 5th. And that event is supposed to be them playing against a school called Chicago Prep, which is also like a prep school where it's just like basically for athletes who want need an extra year, mm-hmm. you know, work on their game, whatever. So there, it's supposed to be them playing against Donda, and then Simeon playing against a school in Nevada, and I can't remember what the name of the school is right now, but it is a school in Nevada. And Kenwood is playing in it
against Hillcrest, right?
I think. Yeah. And what's happening is the IHSA hasn't sanctioned it, so like Donda Academy isn't a part of any state organization. They're not a part of California's, you know, high school association. And then Chicago Prep is not a part of the IHSA. And it's like, I'm thinking like, well, what's up with the school thing? Like, you know, do they have a real curriculum? Like,
yeah. And from what I could understand from that Slam article was there is a online curriculum that, you know, there's like for people, like if you were doing homeschool, like there's an online curriculum that they've adopted, but they got all these guys just living in like luxury apartments, doing like tutoring and then balling. They did a hoop though. That's their whole purpose. The IHSA, Illinois High School Association, came out and said most tournaments like this are set up months in advance. Kanye was just like, we gonna do this tournament. We gonna start selling tickets. We'll get the approval at some point. I feel like that Soldier Field show. It's just like, just tell people we gonna do it and we'll work it out on the back end.
And like they selling tickets for like $500. It's crazy. It's nuts. This cult of celebrity around Kanye is kind of, it's crazy to watch how what this is allowing him to do, you know, like mm-hmm. to create a high school with like no real, you know, qualification, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, and now he's trying to like just subvert this system of like the high school associations. And like, you know, maybe it is like an archaic, just like extra kind of, you know, why we got to go through all these hoops to do it type of system, which, you know, breaking that down might be cool, but like the idea that Kanye just has free reign to just do.
So it's like book an arena and to bring, and again, Kenwood, Simeon, and Hillcrest, I don't believe have commented yet because if IHSA doesn't sanction this event, they're not going to be able
they
to
play. They can't play, exactly.
And Simeon is already potentially pulled out of a major sanction tournament to play in this one. And so y'all have done a great job at the Tribe of covering particularly Chicago high school basketball, because it is more than just, you know, a bunch of kids hooping. It's one of the like premier proving grounds for young basketball players. Chicago is giving the world some of the best hoopers we've ever seen. And so this isn't just about, you know, a high school basketball tournament. This is about, like you said, Kanye and the celebrity cult around him, allowing him to just like move high school students around the country into these different tournaments without the proper sanctions. And it brings a lot of questions into like, are we doing enough to protect young athletes, right? I'm under the impression, though, that the IHSA is going to bend to Kanye's whims, and they're going to somehow put this tournament on.
Yeah, money. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. Tonya, I'm going to kick it to you. What was a story that caught your attention this week?
I've been really just still following the CPS and COVID mostly.
Yeah.
So just the news about the like how they changed their reporting for COVID cases per school. It's just been kind of interesting, especially with all that happened earlier this month with CTU and CPS and them discussing, you know, going remote. And I saw a lot of people saying, you know, if people really knew the numbers of like how COVID is, you know, running rampant in schools, then nobody, you know, would want their kid to go back.
Yeah. When that Twitter thread popped up from Jacob Ondry, who was a CPS parent and a web engineer, he had been running his own COVID dashboard to kind of track what are the public numbers that CPS have been putting out and how accurate they are. And he said on January 4th, the day that the Chicago Teachers Union voted to temporarily go remote, all of a sudden, the way that CPS was reporting their COVID cases changed. Now, CPS came out and said that it had started to report cases that had been reviewed by contact tracers. And they said that started December 20th. And older people have come out to say, do we need to look closer at how CPS is tracking COVID numbers? We've had, in addition to the amount of students and adults in the buildings who have been exposed to COVID, but all the other CPS-related issues that have not been addressed as students have returned to school. It's almost February, and you still got kids who ain't got their bus route figured out.
Right.
And I feel terribly for these kids who, at this point, like you mentioned, got to walk out of school just to get their voice heard.
Yeah, I appreciated Matt, talking to students because, like, as he said in the article, like, this is about them, you know, and their school has been interrupted, you know, for these last 2 years. And I do wish that there was just some transparency and honesty with what is really happening with like the number of COVID cases and the reporting. So, you know, parents and caregivers can have a real idea of what's happening at their kid's school.
No, I was just going to say, like, these shorties, like, they really have, like, they've been kind of locked out of this conversation for the most part. And, like, that's something that's, like, frightening to think about, even as somebody who's raising a kid. And, like, I've always thought that I wanted to put my kid in CPS just because of, like, the cultural aspect of it. Seeing what a good CPS school could look like. And, like, when it comes down to it, I got to protect my shorty. And if I feel like, you know, these schools are just, they are unfit for, like, people. There are people that are acting like they don't really understand how bad it is at these schools, man. Like, it's worse than just bad paint and dust on the floor. No.
Right. You got a little village school this week where the heat went out on the coldest day. You got teachers and students using Snapchat and Twitter to show dead rats when they come back from holiday break. Seth Lavin is a principal at an elementary school in Logan Square, and he says he don't have enough teachers in classrooms. They don't have enough food in the cafeteria. And like I said earlier, they still don't have all their bus routes figured out. Before we move on, Tonya, I did have a question because you mentioned earlier, you said you still have, you've subbed in CPS. You have friends who still teach in CPS. You know, what are those conversations like?
Sure. So like my best friend from high school and college, and she has middle schoolers, so just telling me how some of her classes would have to quarantine. But then the thing that would be interesting is, like, she wouldn't have to. So it'd be like the class itself goes in quarantine, but she would still be expected to come into work. And, you know, she has a young son, so I would be thinking about him. And then one of my former coworkers teaches kindergarten, and I was her, like, assistant, and just her telling me all the behavioral problems that she's seeing. You know, a lot of tantrums because some of these children haven't been in school kind of ever. This, like, new class of kindergartners, you know. She says, sometimes I'm not taking lunches. I'm working through my breaks to get things ready. And there's a lot of children. So I think she is one, and she doesn't really get a lot of help. So it's like 26 kids. So that alone, you know, that's also speaking to some of the things CTU was fighting for.
We'll be right back. So we talked about some big stories that really grabbed headlines across the city. But in that, every week, a bunch of stories go by and don't get as much attention. Matt, what was the story that you want to shine more light on this week?
I wanted to shine more light on King Louie, man. I feel like there was a story written by Drawn the Wind is what he goes by. And he put out a story in his newsletter about King Louie. Because, you know, this year, there's a lot of these anniversaries coming up when it comes to Chicago hip-hop, right? Because 2012 was a big year. It was the Chief Keef breakout year. It was the year that, like, you know, all eyes kind of turned towards the city when it came to music, to hip-hop music in particular. And this guy, Drew, But he recently started up his newsletter, and one of the first things he wrote was a homage to King Louie and Louie's kind of significance to Chicago hip hop, which often goes overlooked in a lot of ways. And I think that King Louie is one of those figures who kind of shapes things from behind the scenes, and like those who know And like, you know, it wasn't, it's not just like the songs that you know of. Like he wrote for people like Ye. And, you know, he's crafting a lot of like the sound that we credit to Chicago. And it isn't just a drill thing. It's a, you know, Chicago music in general thing. He's just one of those heavy hitters, I feel like, that we'll kind of always revere.
No, for sure. And for people who may not be familiar, King Louis is a rapper who, as Matt said, he's at the forefront of the Chicago drill scene. I think when his first mixtapes came out in 2007, but his one that a lot of people might remember was Chirac Drill and Noise, which came out in 2011. Jilluminati came out in 2012. To this day, when my homie Chris come to my crib, he throw B.O.N. on. Like, without fail.
Pull up, pump a nigga. Call it an asthma attack. That 40 count always spin. And think you know how to rap.
And I think that, like, the reason why I find this story so important to me, and, like, you know, it might have been something that, you know, most people never saw, and, like, it went under folks' radar, but it's a situation where somebody's given. We often run into it where we almost lost him multiple times. And what if we lost him without him ever getting his flowers?
Tonya, what was the story that you wanted to shine some more light on this week?
So since we, you know, you had the icebreaker where you're talking about what we do when it's cold, I have seen some people talking about cleaning off these sidewalks. So the city doing it. And I'm for this. Mm-hmm. I'm really for this because I have been, you know, damn near figure skating, like walking to my car. But yeah, I think that's something we should do instead of just like doing the streets. In addition to, they should also be, you know, helping shovel some sidewalks.
Hey, you are not alone. We actually have an episode coming out next week where we talk with a group who is trying to get the city to treat the sidewalks like the streets. Because right now it's up to the property owners to shovel the sidewalks. And, you know, depending on where you live, depending on what type of properties on your street, the type of landlords that you got on your street, you can go from one plot to the next plot. And like you said, be going from smooth sidewalk to almost about to bust your ass. I've definitely eaten it twice so far during this winter. Luckily, it's been in the back of the building on the way to the trash can.
Nah, people definitely saw me. I slipped in a CVS parking lot.
Ooh, yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Nah, I definitely got to the point where I just got my roller skate on. I just went outside and I felt like Frozone. I was just, where's my super suit? But I agree with you. Have you had to shovel? When's the last time you had to shovel some snow?
So I moved in October, but where I lived last year with my friend, when it snowed for February, like every day, I was outside shoveling every day. And I was so angry. First of all, you know, feminist, but also like, where are the men? Like, wondering, I'm like, where are the young men looking for some money? Like, you know, where are they? They're not here. So and this block is pretty nice where everybody kind of seems to be shoveling the front. Now, there was a section at the end of the block where people weren't. But, you know, I don't know the circumstances of like the people that live there. Maybe they're elderly and need a hand. But I was definitely shoveling more snow last year and I'm happy to not do it.
Yeah. Every single episode, every single week, we like to leave the people with a moment of joy or some good news to get them through the weekend. That could be something that happened in your personal life, something you're writing about, something you read, that just in the midst of all the confusion, all of the nonsense that you see. Matt, where was your source of joy coming from this week?
A moment of joy that I had this week actually was with my son. We've been experimenting with different foods with him. You know, he's starting to get to a point where he eat food for real. So, I mean, pureed food.
How old is he?
He's 5 months. And so this week I tried him some like bell peppers for the first time. See, I'm a guy that cooks. You know, I like to cook a lot. And like, I always told myself that like when I have my baby, like he not finna eat like trash baby food. Like I'm going make his food and it's gonna taste good. Like I want it to be something that I can eat. You know what I'm saying? Like I can put this in my mouth and be like, you know? And you know, we've been doing the fruits and things like that. Those have been real easy, and like we've even done like spinach and carrots. And when I did the carrots, you know, I seasoned them up a little bit, real lightly, real lightly. You have to do,
I got you,
literally a little pinch, you know, and roasted them up, and they tasted amazing. And I did the same thing with these bell peppers. So getting him to eat a couple spoonfuls of bell peppers, yeah, that was a big breakthrough for me, and it was a big moment for me, because I was like, man, this bell pepper thing is finna be a hit. Like, we're gonna be roasting us some bell peppers every other day, and you know, it might be his favorite vegetable. Hopefully, it's his favorite vegetable. Right.
So are you roasting it up and then like putting it in a blender? You using like a hand blender or something to mash it?
We actually got a baby bullet, a baby NutriBullet. It's pretty simple, actually, to make your own baby food. Like, I'm surprised that more people mm-hmm. don't do it, because, like, it saved us money on buying baby food.
Does he have a sense of a favorite yet? Do you know what's his
go-to? Oh, yeah. Right now, his favorites are blueberries. He's a berry guy. So blueberries and strawberries are his thing. And he also loves mangoes a lot. So, like, those three mm-hmm. are definitely his top three.
Oh, that's beautiful. Man, that's a fantastic moment of joy. I'm inviting more Chicago guests to talk about their kids and the beautiful things they do with them. Tonia, what was a moment of joy that brought some laughter or a smile to your face this week?
Just outside yesterday, noticing that the sun took a while to set yesterday. So I'm starting to get a little happy.
Mm-hmm. I believe we're starting to cross that threshold where the sun is moving back past 5 o'clock. When the sun starts setting around like 2:30 in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, what does that do to you every year? Because like you said with the winter earlier, I still am just like, God damn, every single year when the sun just starts disappearing. What does that do to you at the top of the winter, Tonia?
For me, it's just like, I just have a sense of it's late all the time. So I'm just like, oh, it's 10 o'clock. It's really 5 o'clock. So it just seems like the night just lasts really, really long. And, you know, I just start shutting down, basically. So I think having the sun out more will definitely make me feel better, you know, ending out wintertime for sure.
Mm-hmm. And my moment of joy, I'm going to keep it with the kids. Yesterday was my niece's, it was her birthday. She was turning 6. And my little Zion is, she's the joy of my life. I love that little girl. But she's also like the first little kid in my life as an adult. And so she served multiple purposes. One, like that amazing birth control to let me know that it ain't time for the boy yet. But also she, you know, I hate to say it like this, but she's that outlet to get out all of that love. Gabby, Darius, y'all doing a fantastic job raising y'all kids. Y'all giving them a childhood that I know we were not privileged to have as children. And so Zion, you're only 6. You may not really appreciate this, but happy birthday. I love you so much. And watching you grow up is just the coolest fucking thing in the world. You are too smart for this world. Hey, again, I appreciate y'all stopping through. Two of the tribe's finest journalists, Tonia Hill and Matt Harvey. Thank y'all for being great friends and supporters of CityCast Chicago and joining us to shoot the shit this Friday.
Thank you. This was fun.
For sure. I appreciate you having us, man.
Before I let you go, you heard that next week we're going to be talking about shoveling snow, but you know we can't talk shy winter traditions without talking about dibs. I want to know how y'all feel about it. Do you do it? Do you move people's objects? Do you hate it? Text us or leave us a voicemail at 773-780-0246. Or you can email us at chicago@citycast.fm. I got to give a huge shout out to the people behind CityCast Chicago. That's lead producer Kerry Shepherd, producer Simone Alisea, and newsletter writer Sydney Madden. Also with all of this amazing music, my boy Sam Trump and the amazing Mark Greenberg of the Mayfair Workshop. Remember, tomorrow is the Better Government Association's panel navigating the story of Cabrini Green. Your boy is moderating in partnership with Catch Light Local. Check out yesterday's pod on Cabrini Green to learn more. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you on Monday. Peace. Unless, of course, you sign up for the panel, because, again, that's on Saturday. So I could talk to you tomorrow.